Okay.
Keep that in mind.
That'll settle in. Why don't Cliff and Ron and Marilyn and Lori, why don't you guys come on up and have a seat?
Okay.
What order do you want to do?
And I would say the most soft-spoken should probably be in the middle. So maybe Ron, I'll have you over there, because your voice is going to show up in the recording for sure.
Marilyn, I think they want you to move down one.
You don't think I can talk loud now? Hey!
Well, compared to Ron...
Oh, compared to Ron.
Oh, yeah, that's all.
We're going to sing a duet.
Ask my children if I can talk loud.
That's all perspective, right?
Well,
towards that.
Okay, so
Cliff,
you know.
All right. Well, others will probably join us, but that's all right. I thought I'd just jump in here. We can a little bit different this morning in terms of what we're doing. We're going to hear from just four people who are not perfect people by any stretch of the imagination, have not graduated in the school of prayer or anything, but I think have some valuable things to share with us. But before we just get a little introduction from them, I wanted to just share about the blessing and kind of the danger of having models. Okay, the blessing is obvious. I feel like some of us may feel like, you know, how can I really grow in my prayer life? What does that actually look like? And so the blessing is just to be able to hear from different people, from different perspectives, how they've grown in prayer. It's an invaluable part of how we grow in prayer is through other examples. And actually hearing other people pray, I think, has a lot of influence as to how we end up praying as well. The danger is in feeling like we have to be exactly like a model or like some person. I was reading earlier this week in this book called The Call for Spiritual Reformation, and D.A. Carson does both. He talks about the value of having models and the necessity of that, while also just trying to not just imitate exactly, that we're each our own person. And he quotes J.I. Packer. I thought it'd be fitting to read this before we jump in. He says this. This is Packer. "I start with the truism that each Christian's prayer life, like every good marriage, has in it common factors about which one can generalize, and also uniqueness, which no other Christian's prayer life will quite match. You are you, and I am I. And we must find our own way with God, and there is no recipe for prayer that can work for us like a handyman's do-it-yourself manual or cookery book, where the claim is that if you follow the instructions, you can't go wrong. Prayer is not like carpentry or cookery. It's the active exercise of a personal relationship, a kind of friendship with the living God and his Son, Jesus Christ. And the way it goes is more under divine control than under ours. Books on praying, like marriage manuals, are not to be treated with slavish superstition, as if perfection of technique is the answer to all difficulties. Their purpose, rather, is to suggest things to try. But as in other close relationships, so in prayer, you have to find out by trial and error what is right for you, and you learn to pray by praying. Some of us talk more, others less. Some are constantly vocal. Others cultivate silence before God as their way of adoration. Some slip into glossolalia. Others make a point of not slipping into it. Yet we may all be praying as God means us to do. The only rules are stay within biblical guidelines, and within those guidelines, as John Chapman puts it, pray as you can, and don't try to pray as you can't." I thought that was a helpful quote just to start off. So let's jump in. I've got some questions I've prepped for these folks, emailed around. Hopefully you got them. If not, off the cuff is going to be good too. So we'll do that for most of the class, and then we'll have some time at the end that you guys can ask questions as well if you've got them. Okay, so why don't we jump in, why don't I pray, and then I'll have you guys just briefly introduce yourselves, and then we can jump in. Gracious Father, we are thankful and privileged to be speaking with you and confident that you hear us. Thank you for all that you've done through Jesus to ensure that we have access to your throne and that you hear our voices and respond. God, I pray that this morning would be helpful in a different kind of way, just to hear the experiences and the ways that you have helped these four and others in our class to learn how to grow in prayer. I pray those would just encourage us, that that passages that come to mind of stirring one another up to love and good deeds, that this kind of thing would help that, and that we would be a more prayerful people as a result. So help us in this, we pray. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, why don't, if each of you wouldn't mind just taking 20 to 30 seconds, which isn't enough, but it's some time, just to introduce yourselves, maybe some of your background, family, whatever you feel like is pertinent for us to get to know you a little bit, that would be great. You want to start with Cliff?
My name is Cliff Hodgins. I've been attending Glenwood here for 26 years. I feel very inadequate to speak to you guys today because to me prayer is a very personal thing. And it's hard, as he was saying, I mean, he said it all in that what he read this morning, but the way I do it is not the way you do it, and I feel very unqualified to tell you how to pray. And so we'll do our best to answer questions today. I brought along my tools, the things that that get me focused in the right direction, and I'm happy to share those with you today.
My name is Lori Gaspar, and we've been coming here for about 4 years, and we have three adult children and a little tribe of grandchildren. And I didn't grow up in a Bible-believing home, I should say, and I have a whole lot to learn. I love learning from others, so I'm hoping that it's a really cool opportunity to get to share a little bit, to encourage each other and give some ideas.
I'm Marilyn Dryden, and I've been going to Glenwood about 30 years. I have two adult sons and four grandchildren and one half-grandchild that Lori and I share. He's really whole to both of us.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you done?
I'm done. Oh. I just told who I was. I'm not kidding. I'm waiting to answer the questions. I have very little to say.
I'm Ron Horch, battling allergy. You may hear it in my voice. We've been attending Glenwood, Minnehaha, for 45 years. In fact, it was when we were in Dallas and found out we were going to be transferred up here. A good missionary friend from then China Inland Missions said, "Oh, you're going up to the Vancouver, Washington area. I know of a church, and I know of a family you should contact." And it was the Pace family, she said. They go to a wonderful church, and we did. We found the church before we found the house, and it was great, and we've had the privilege of serving on the board for many years. Marlene was with Women's Ministries, and we have just been blessed through this ministry here.
Very good. All right. Well, let's jump in. Simple and obvious one, but what does the routine of prayer look like in your life specifically? And just a qualifier, I don't want them all to feel like they all have to answer every question. Okay, so we'll just kind of play that by ear. But
I'll be very brief. It's a spiritual habit. It's a good habit. I feel the need for prayer. And so Marlene and I do that together, have for many, many years, usually mid-morning, when we're more awake.
Okay.
And depending, we're flexible, but depending on other appointments. But we look forward to it every day.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I've tried to adopt the practice of praying without ceasing. Wherever I am, whatever I'm doing, if I find myself thinking about something that's not valuable, I try to pray. When you're driving your car, you can thank the Lord for not getting run over by the guy who just ran through the intersection.
Right.
That's a different response.
I find myself, as many of you know, I've had numerous health issues the last 3 years. So I find myself waking up during the night every 2 hours or so. And I try to pray when I find myself awake at night. And I find that very, very beneficial. I find also that the hymnals, as I mentioned last Sunday, so many hymns lead us in the direction of prayer. Like, I come to the garden alone and meet the Lord there. I walk with him and I talk with him. I don't want to take up all the time, but another tool that I just continue to recommend is our daily bread. If you read the daily bread, you know that yesterday the topic was prayer. It hit the nail right on the head as far as this class goes. And it talked about the Lord's Prayer, what led up to it, how to follow it. And so every day I sing the Lord's Prayer to myself. If I wake up at night, I sing the Lord's Prayer. And it just helps keep you focused in your daily walk.
How about you ladies?
I kind of have changed what my routine of prayer looks like over the years. Currently, I usually, before I get out of bed, pray through a prayer book. It's basically the Psalms and a little bit of a reading from the Gospels, but it's like, it probably takes me between 5 and 10 minutes to do that. And then later on in the morning, after I've taken the dog for a walk or something, then I have some kind of more intense, where you might think of it as more coming from my own heart type prayer. But I, like Cliff, try to really in my day know that I am in a conversation with the Lord all day long. You know, he's prompting me and I'm responding with obedience or with argument or whatever, but that we're having a conversation all day long. He's there with me. One thing that has really changed for me is to lose my prayer partner. It's been very hard. And I think I rely more on books now, because when you've prayed with someone since I was 14 years old until the time he died, it's very hard. You feel like somebody's missing. You know, you've had these three people praying and one is gone. And I just thank the Lord for how he has brought other things into my life to help me to continue to pray. But I also feel like it's important not to look for the magic of prayer. That's the only way I can say it. But, you know, you read about people who are great prayers, like a lot of the books that you mentioned last week, you know, and you feel like, oh, I can never do that, or I don't feel like that when I pray. And I realize magic is the wrong word, but I don't have a great word for it. But just to recognize in obedience, I am going to talk to God, and I'm going to listen. And, you know, it might not feel any different to you than anything else in your day, but you're obeying, and you're just faithful in obedience. He's faithful, even if you don't feel any spectacular whatever.
Amen. I think we can go home.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's such a good word to be reminded. I just had some logistics maybe. For me, if I don't get up early before the day happens, I get distracted, I get a phone call, I get a little distracted when I pray anyway, but I prefer, and I'm not really a morning person, and later down here somewhere where I think it asks what our hindrances, it's like, if I have to go to bed early, if I'm going to get up early, right? But I just, and I like to go through, it's helpful to me to go through the the four steps of prayer, I want to start with a praise. And sometimes God has just put it on my heart in the morning, you know, with His creation or His goodness or His mercy. Or it's in the Word, I'll find a praise. So I just start with thinking of who God is and praising Him and asking the Holy Spirit to show me sin, to confess that, and then to give thanks for answered prayer. And sometimes I will journal it a little bit. I go through seasons of doing that, and sometimes I just feel the need to not do it that way. And I have a weekly hour of prayer with my prayer group, and I pray, as Marilyn said, Jim and I go for a walk every day with the dog, and we just pray for our grandkids. He might get all the boys, and I'll get the, you know, we just pray together like that for our grandkids and our children. And then when I'm with someone, if we start talking about something and there's a need they have, we can pray right then. And sometimes I have a reminder. Nathan's in Poland this week, and he always leaves this glass up on my refrigerator so that he doesn't have to dirty my other glasses all week. Isn't that nice? So I see it up there. And I'm like, Nathan's in Poland, and I can pray for him or something like that, or a gift someone gave you. I'm sure you've probably heard those things.
Yeah. Oh, that's really helpful, you guys. I'm going to skip one and go to what's helped you to be consistent in prayer, and how can a person have a routine in prayer without it becoming stale? Not all of you have to answer that, but I'm just curious how you guys have worked through that consistency, but not having it feel like it's.
I would say time, you know, to, like you say, whatever the time is that you pick, try to, you know, make it like you're brushing your teeth or something. You know, you have time to do what you commit to do. So to me, just one of the things that has helped me be consistent is to say, I'm going to do this at a certain time. And the other thing is to vary, you know, become stale, because I over the years, I vary exactly how I go about praying, you know, like using a different book, journaling sometimes, not journaling sometimes. That's helped me not to become stale.
Yeah.
But it's still obedience to me. I can't say is like, I'm sure I would miss it, but there's also an aspect of it that's just plain old obedience.
Right.
Can I ask a question? I have lots of white hair. You folks do too. Could you speak to how it was when you were younger and raising your family and time was not as free as it is now in your retirement years? Mm. Could you speak to how you speak to this question from your younger years as well as your current years?
That's a great.
I'd say don't be hard on yourself. Mm-hmm. I used to associate, this is terrible, but I used to associate things I wanted to pray for with cleaning things, like the toilet scrubber, the comments, you know. I mean, because that was my life. I mean, it's nice to get up early, but when your child gets up at 3:30 and crying, you know, then you're not able to get up early because you're up, you know, before you can think. And so that's just one thing I did. And I would sometimes, I had a great husband who would tell me, who would comfort me that with the fact that, you know, God isn't looking down on you, checking off how many minutes you spent doing this.
Well, as a young family, we would, I would try to have a family devotion before the kids would go to school. Mm-hmm. Microwaves helped, too. When microwaves were introduced, it made it more flexible in terms of kids being involved in activities and being able to prepare meals, but we tried to do that with our family, yes.
Mm-hmm. All right, how about go for it.
On number three, there's an accountability. We have the accountability to each other. We have our own prayer time, but we have the accountability that we do want to get together, and we read a devotional, we recite, we're memorizing new verses. Mm-hmm. And it's tough at an old age, folks, to do it when you're young. You got young folks. but it's good to memorize and be able to recite. So we recite about, I don't know, 10 minutes worth of verses, and we just go through it, we talk about it, and then we pray together. But it's kind of an accountability. We keep it fresh by reading different authors, different devotional books, like Marilyn was saying.
How about scripture? What scriptures have been especially meaningful to you in regard to prayer? And how does prayer just intersect with the other spiritual disciplines in your life?
Well, I like the verse in 1 Thessalonians 5, I think it is, where it says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all things, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Now, we pray for the will of God in our lives and in our families' lives every day. And my thought is that if you ask for God's will in your life, then you can't be complaining about what happens. His will is what's happening. And I found that very helpful with my health issues. I've not tried to complain about anything. In fact, I try to give him the praise because I've met a whole lot of people in the medical field that have that I didn't know before. And I'm thankful for that. As Glenn Thornton would tell you, he says, the only reason I'm here is because of the grace of God and modern medicine. Yeah. And there's a lot of truth in that statement. Mm-hmm. And so there's another verse, I think it's in Luke 22 or 21, when the Lord is talking to his disciples, and he's telling them, what's going to be happening here real soon. And he says, among other things, pray always that you might be found worthy to escape these things that are going to be happening in the world. And so the idea of praying continually is right there before us. It's something we just need to do. Yeah.
Hmm. Good. Others?
I guess if I have ones, I should have it memorized. I love Daniel's prayers, and this had come to my mind lately. It's, "We do not make request of you because we are righteous, but because of your great mercy, O Lord, listen. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hear and act. For your sake, O God, do not delay, because your city and your people bear your name." It's just all His, And that's just such a comfort. And then I often think of Ephesians 3:20, that He does abundantly, exceedingly abundant beyond all that we could ask or imagine. And I love seeing that. I love asking. And then, like you said, it turns out differently, thankfully, than perhaps what we have in mind. Just asking and knowing how good He is, and then watching and seeing His abundance.
I have found that all of Paul's epistles and the Psalms have been very meaningful to me, to just pray them for people. Like, sometimes prayer and prayer requests end up being very physical, and there's nothing wrong with praying for those things. I'm not putting that down, but I feel like we are in a spiritual warfare. So to pray for, to just go through, open any of Paul's epistles, and there's prayers in there. And, even sometimes when I know someone's going through something hard and they're anxious, I will just pray, from Philippians, help them not to be anxious, but help them to, and I feel better praying those things, because I feel like my own choices to pray for people are inadequate compared to, like, what God wants, that exceedingly abundantly above what we are going to think of. So that's been helpful to me. And as to the disciplines, I have learned to be quiet. You can tell I'm kind of a chatterer. But and partly I think that's because Jack is not here anymore. And so in the last 5 years, I've learned to just be quiet and listen, and listen for God. And I don't hear Him You know, I wish I could recognize his voice, you know, physical voice, but I do hear him when I'm quiet. You know, I mean, I feel like he leads me in quietness.
Another area in the scripture that's very helpful is Romans chapter 8, the whole chapter, among other things.
Yeah.
But in 26, it says, "In the same way the Spirit also helps our weakness, but we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings and words." And so we have the indwelling Holy Spirit, and I think this is something we forget. We forget that we have the indwelling Holy Spirit, and we have power. Mm-hmm. But in our weakness, the Spirit knows we're weak, and he intercedes for us with groanings and utterances that, just are unexpressible. And so we have that going for us, so to speak.
I would echo that. There are so many verses, but that groan, that groaning is, it's with intensity. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, the Holy Spirit can do it so much better than we can. That's why we're, and that's why he tells us this, you know, when you don't know what to pray.
Yeah.
You want to pray, but you don't know what to say.
Yeah. How about distractions? How do you handle distractions that come up in prayer?
Well, I have a lot of them, so I'll talk about that. I just tell the Lord, I just immediately say, okay, I'm off track. I just confess that I'm not regarding him the way I should be regarding him, or I wouldn't be thinking about anything else. And then I thank him for something about who he is, and it gets me back. I mean, that's and I also choose places where I'm less distracted to pray. I mean, I don't pray with the TV on. I don't pray with the radio on.
You always close your eyes?
I often close my eyes because it depends. When I'm sitting quietly waiting on the Lord, then I'll maybe have my eyes open. But yeah. But what comes into my mind is the laundry that needs to be changed. You know, I mean, it's work. That's what it happens to be. And I just have to tell him I'm sorry. He knows. That's the nice thing about the Holy Spirit.
Right.
He knows. You know, we're not faking it here. You know, he knows what's in our heart anyway. So might as well tell him I'm sorry. I got distracted by the laundry. He knows it.
I've chosen times when I'm tired and I shouldn't do that and sleep. I've fallen asleep just, you know.
Yeah.
The Lord knows the intent, but the body was weak, but usually not. I try not to do that.
But he's your father. He loves you.
He loves me. Yes.
I'm currently reading a book called The Man God Uses by Oswald J. Smith, and he was talking about this very problem of interruptions and distractions and mental wandering and all that sort of thing. And so his solution to that is to walk when he prays. He says, if I get on my knees, I fall asleep. Who hasn't done that? So anyway, his solution to that is to take a time when he goes in his room for an hour and nobody bothers him, and he walks and paces and prays out loud, and he stays awake. And there's no interruptions, and he's able to stay focused. And so that's an idea that I'm trying to work on.
Praying aloud does help. Yeah. I get less distracted when I pray out loud.
Yeah. I'm bouncing around here because I don't want to be mindful of time. This was a question from someone during the class, which is, some books suggest that prayer time should be long and that the Lord's Prayer is brief. And Ecclesiastes 5 says to keep our prayers short or to let our words be few. How should we think about the importance of the length of prayer times?
Well, I think, again, the daily bread, keeping in touch, was the title of the thing on prayer. And the idea is length has nothing to do with it. In fact, sometimes if you pray too long, you're probably becoming ineffective. The idea is that you're talking with your Father. It's a conversation.
Yeah.
It can be very brief. It can be very effective. It can be very long and ineffective. So you have to work that out.
Lori, you're going to say something?
I guess I maybe kind of took this question to think about keeping praying about something, like persevering prayer. But that's not exactly maybe what was they're asking here. I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's more length of time or...
Yeah. But I know the scriptures tell us that we should always keep on praying for someone and wrestling in prayer and devoting ourselves and being watchful. And so, yeah.
To persevere in prayer.
Yeah.
How about this? Is being honest with God something that one learns? If so, how have you grown in sincerity and honesty in prayer?
I think that's something God teaches us for our lives, really, to reveal sin in us, to, that's being honest with God, is the Holy Spirit convicting us of sin and us submitting to that and obeying and being in the Word. It's a work that He does, I think.
He's all-knowing. It's pretty foolish to think that we can be dishonest with God.
Yeah.
You know, he knows it all. We deceive ourselves if we think that.
I'm with Lori. It's just a time thing. God is merciful and kind. And
okay. How do others fit into your prayer life? And how important is it to pray with other people?
I find that it's been so helpful for me. And then I know for some people they say it's uncomfortable and it maybe takes practice. I'm like Marilyn, I like to talk. I had to learn to listen when I prayed with others, but it keeps me, well, it does help me focus. We pray for an hour, we're very focused, we are committed to each other, but also it builds our faith, I think, when we pray with someone else and we hear them, not only we might hear their thanksgiving, their answer to prayer, but their heart for prayer and just being committed to each other and really caring about each other. You really love the person that you pray with in a special way. I think it's really a community building, church body building faith matter.
Yeah.
I would agree with that, yeah, and it helps both people if there's two, you know. I mean, the one you're praying for and the one who's praying is tremendously encouraging for the group of people that are there.
I would just add that I think it's, as brothers and sisters, it's always a blessing for me when someone prays for me right at the time that they can, you know, maybe I'm sharing something or that's hard, or and that person says, well, let's pray, or, and you know, I have found that to be helpful when I do that with other people also. I think, you know, it'd be delightful to see in our foyer a bunch of people with their heads bowed just in brief prayers to remind, and I think it's helpful. I think that kind of prayer with people is important.
I think it's something you really have to work at and develop. Maybe it's a man thing. Men tend to be more internal and less groupy, if I can use that term.
And it's not as chatty, maybe?
But I know how good it makes me feel when... I'll be talking to Pastor Paul and he'll say, can I pray for you right now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, over the phone.
Yep.
You know. Or I'm talking to say one of my brothers and one of them in particular is quite a prayer guy, and he just starts praying for me, you know, over the phone.
Yeah.
And so that is meaningful.
There are a few examples in Scripture of people who are especially persistent in prayer. So the Canaanite woman, we've got the widow of Luke 18, and they seem to be held up as examples, right, of people who are persistent. But is it possible to badger God? And what is the difference between being persistent versus not accepting an answer that we don't like? Sometimes, you read these examples and you think, wow, that was bold. That was maybe not something I would have done. But it seems like they're held up as examples. How do we balance those things?
Well, my first thought was, you can't badger God. You may try, but you just can't badger God. He knows. We know that he knows everything ahead of time, and he knows what's going to happen in the future. And so he doesn't consider it badgering when we pray to him. He considers it, he desires that we would communicate with him and that we would let him know our concerns and our cares, and that it pleases him when he knows that we come to him with these issues. And so I don't consider it badgering. I think you can talk to him all day long, and he will love it and not consider it badgering.
Okay. Yeah.
I thought of my grandkids when I was trying to answer the last part of that. What's the difference between being persistent and not accepting? My grandkids all like to have seconds on dessert, and they often ask, after we've had family meal together, they ask their parents, can I have a second cookie or can I have a second piece of cake or whatever? And their parents will sometimes say yes, and sometimes their parents will say no. And because they live in an atmosphere of their parents' goodwill and their parents' love for them and their parents, you know, giving them many good things, they seem to be able to accept the no as well as the yes. And I think that's kind of a lot of the difference to me, is the attitude we go to God with. Do we go with the attitude that he loves us and that all of what he gives us is what is best for us? Or do we go with the attitude of, I'm going to tell you what you need to do for me, you know? And I've seen the children grow from whiny, badgering to acceptance. And I think as believers, we need to go from... But the God loves us in the whiny, badgering state. That if we think we're going to direct him by yammering to him that we really want to marry that person, or, you know, whatever it is we're yammering to him about, and he doesn't give us that, that's part of our growing, and eventually we get to the state where we'll say, okay, yes or no, either way for the cookie. I mean, that's a simple thing.
That's how I
look at my relationship with God. I'm a simple girl.
Well, it's encouraging to know that in that portion of Luke, Jesus says, his opening words, that at all times they ought to pray and not lose heart. So I often wonder, you know, if Paul, it mentions only that he asked God 3 times to remove the... I wonder how many more times he did pray and it's not recorded.
I think that we know when our Father said no, and then there are times when we are still waiting, and I think he calls us to do the work alongside of him of... And this was kind of a new concept to me, that there's a word with it called this, you know, this persevering prayer, this wrestling, this work, there's a biblical concept and descriptions and pictures of us working with God and being called to maybe for a lifetime praying for an unsaved loved one, or, you know, various growth, the growth of our children and in the Lord, and even knowing that it's a thing, that there's a concept, that there's a biblical mandate, that it's part of our calling and our work with God to persevere in prayer. And I'm not a good perseverer in most things, so, like, God will help me persevere, and it's a work we're doing together. We might not always know, but we know that he's good and faithful, and we want to persevere.
I think that's a good point, Lori. When you pray for the salvation of someone, you pray your whole life sometimes. I think that's so important that you never give up. And that kind of a prayer, that impacts the kingdom of God. And that's so important, yes.
Yeah. We're going to spend some time next week talking about quote-unquote unanswered prayers or how to persevere a bit in prayer. That's such a hard thing. How about listening? Do you practice listening to God? And if so, how? And how have you tried to discern between your own thoughts and His voice? Listening to God. What does that look like?
I want to listen to you guys.
I know. I barely love. So I need to learn this better. Exclamation point. Tell us. Being in the Word.
I think practice is the key word there. That for me, now that I have more time, it's sitting quietly. And choices I've made, I don't listen to the... I want you to know I'm not saying this should be your practice. It's my practice. Is I don't listen to things when I'm driving. I try to make that a time, like, let's say, between the Lord and I. And it's amazing how many times I feel this prompting to pray for somebody during that time. I'm not seeking that, but I tend to, you know, I've given up sort of in some ways trying to discern between my own thoughts and His voice. Not like I just trust Him that if He brings it into my mind to call that person or do that thing or whatever, that it's Him, and I obey. And I trust Him that if it's not Him, He'll stop me. Because, honestly, I don't know, Cliff, since none of us know.
No pressure.
I can't say that I've actually heard a physical voice, although sometimes I'll be taking a nap and all of a sudden I'll wake up. And I thought, what was that all about? But to me, God speaks to us through His Word. So the more time you spend reading His Word, the more He will be able to communicate with you in a way that's educational and is comforting and instructional. And you just, the Holy Spirit uses His Word to... enforce our thoughts, I guess I would say.
Yeah.
One comforting thing for me has been, there have been times when I felt like I should do something, and I did it. And afterwards, the person told me that that was something. And so that comforts me that that was the Lord inclining me. But I just don't feel... Yeah. A great deal of difference in how that's different from my thoughts.
I can recall specific times when the Holy Spirit prompted me to do something, and also through sermons spoken to me, certainly through His Word, yes.
Yes.
That's His instruction. Circumstances, they weren't coincidences, and some very clear answers, I think.
Yeah.
Jim?
Yeah, Randy.
Yeah, Marilyn, I think, kind of hit the nail on the head, at least for me. My prayer time is often a regimented time when I first get out of bed, because otherwise I get distracted. But the listening part's an all-day thing. Mm-hmm. You know, bring a name to mind, call this person, walk past the dryer and empty it for sending, and all. It's like... stuff like that. It's an all-day thing, so listening.
Yeah. Well, that's great. Thank you. How about this? How would you encourage a person who is discouraged by their prayer life? Not that any of us are discouraged by our prayer life, but in case there happen to be a few, how would you guys encourage them?
Well, you just have to keep on keeping on. One of the things that I've read somewhere, I can't put my finger on it right now, but it's the idea of we get bogged down by all of our failures in the past. And we're told to forget about the past and look at the future. And I have failed so many times, and some of those things, they just keep popping up. You know, oh, if only I had done something differently. Things might be different, but I have to remind myself, hey, quit thinking about what was or what could have been, but let's think about what is now and what mm-hmm. can be by being God's person wherever you are. And so it's important to not let the past drag you down now and in the future.
Can we jump in on this, or is there?
Let's hear from them, and then maybe we can add nuance to the question. Other ways.
Well, if I were discouraged, if someone would pray for me to help me in my walk and my prayer life, and because if I'm discouraged, maybe there's something else, you know, too. And I think praying with that person, if someone prays with me, that would be helpful. And just pointing out, you know, promises, scriptural promises, and just speaking truth.
Mm-hmm. And so that, Lori, before Marilyn, that assumes that the person's willing to share mm-hmm. that discouragement with others so that mm-hmm. people would have the opportunity to mm-hmm. to come alongside and to partner up. Marilyn, go ahead.
I would only add one thing that I would say is to just stop evaluating whether your prayer, I mean, that's been something the Lord has really dealt with me about, is just stop grading yourself, you know, on how good your prayer life is. Start praying, you know, as bad as you do it, it's good, you know. And the other thing is sing. You know, I would encourage people to sing, because many, many hymns, if you listen to the words that you're saying, they're prayers. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And if you can't pray, you can, anyone would tell you, I cannot, I'm not a good singer by, you know, you wouldn't want me in your choir, but the Lord hears my heart when I sing. And I think singing hymns is a wonderful way, if you're discouraged, to pray.
Yes, I think praying with that person is a real good idea, and speak truth. James 4:7 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. That's truth. That can be an impactful statement, and pray with them and just encourage them. Get started. Do it.
Yes. I maybe answer that differently than what it was intended, but it is just give ourselves a lot of grace. Mm-hmm. God is such a gracious God, and I start to maybe be proud or whatever, you know. It's all God. It's all His grace, and He loves us so much, and He's our Father who wants to give us good gifts. He has such good gifts for us. Mm-hmm.
We've got about 10 minutes left, so we need to pare things down. I do have one final question I want to get to, but I want to open it up if you guys have any questions. Questions that you have that you'd like to ask? Things you've been wondering about?
I have a thought to add. It seems to me like emptying yourself when you pray to God to empty yourself, that would include cares and ambitions, and then on the other hand, maybe turn your hands upright and ask the Lord to fill your heart with the things that He would have you to know and actions that you might take.
That maybe is good. Really addressing the knowing God's, you know, wanting God's will. Mm-hmm. Like I heard someone tell me once, you should try to not, you know, empty yourself of your plan, your desire, right?
Exactly.
Your will is better,
yes.
Right?
Okay, so on that last question, how would you encourage a person who is discouraged by their prayer life? I kind of push back on Cliff. The past is important. I remember when God answered prayer. Mm-hmm. I remember when we were praying for that God would stop trucks going through a Christian conference center, and there were three earthquakes that split the road. You know, and the county kept rebuilding the road, and finally they made a road around. You know, I remember answers to prayer and the answers to prayer in Scripture. You know, Elijah prayed, and fire came down from heaven. So I think we got to, you know, also take some courage and know that God's got the answers to prayer. And encourage people that, you know, don't give up yet.
And forget your discouragement, you meant, like, if you, right, that would be more, right? Like, just forget that your failures, in a way, right, to be the forgetting part. And that song that says, I'm not going to be able to remember it exactly, but it says, when Satan tempts me to
despair
and tells me of the guilt within, upward I look and see him there who made an end of all my sins. So that is an important thing, I think, when you are discouraged in praying and you think, man, I said I was going to pray for 10 minutes in the morning and it's been 6 days and I've only done it once. So what? Your Father is happy to see you on that one day. Maybe next week it will be 2 days. And I'm not trying to minimize that you should be disciplined in your prayer life, but don't put your disappointment with yourself on God. He's gracious. And his only desire is for your good. And so if it would have been better for you to pray all 6 days, yes, he recognized that. But, you know, we do that. Anybody who's been a parent knows, you know, when your child starts obeying, you don't start reciting the disobedience, you know. And I think that's important to remember about prayer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, question here in the day.
Yeah. My issue right now is, how do you organize your prayer list so that you feel like you've covered everything? You know what I'm saying?
You can pray for a lot of things.
So how do you? And the older you get, the more grandchildren you get.
The list gets longer.
And then you've got small groups. You've got moving the word or moving. You do so many, and you want to cover. You don't want to leave anyone out.
Yeah.
How do you
prioritize of all the things we could pray for? It's a great question. What would you guys say to that?
Well, I've got several lists, and I randomly, I guess you'd say, use a list. I look at my Bible and I grab this list. It's one, say, we get every month at our board meeting. The church gives us a list, a prayer list of all the needs in the church. People I don't know. People with all the illnesses and the deaths and all those kind of things. And some days I use that list and some days I don't. Another thing that I mentioned last week was pictures. I don't know if you're like, our family has pictures all over the place, particularly of our grandchildren. Every day I see those pictures. Every day I pray for my grandkids. So there's so many triggers, so to speak, to prayer. And I don't think we should be feeling bad because we have a list that includes everything.
Okay. How about you guys? How do you prioritize what to pray for?
Go ahead. Well, it's just a really good question, and like you once said, sometimes I have to change it up, and I know it's not always working, and I feel badly when I look back or remember or see someone's face that I promised that I would pray for them, and I didn't, or, you know, grace. But, and I like to pray for all the things every day. Some people have, like, you know, this week I'll pray, this day I'll pray for missions. So maybe I don't cover it as well that way. So that's one way, right, to have a missions day, a church day, a family day. So I just have those groups listed, like my life group, I'll just write life group, or my mom, mothers of missionary, we have moms, and then some days I just get to it better. So I guess I'm saying I'm probably not real helpful because it's kind of haphazard. I write it on my calendar, in my journal, but I try to I do have a list with the main categories, and I try to go over that every day a little bit in my journal or on my calendar that I go back and forth.
Ron, what would you say?
Well, it's kind of, as Cliff was saying before, too, we have this attitude of prayer during the day.
Yes.
And we don't pray for everything every day in the same setting. Mm-hmm. But with an attitude of prayer throughout the day, God just brings it to our mind, different things to pray for. Mm-hmm. And we do have a list, and we do faithfully follow the church communique on the prayer list. That's so important for brothers and sisters in Christ to be praying for them, whatever the situation. But yes, there are a lot of, we never run out of things to pray for. And thank God he is always there to listen, and he invites us to do that. So whatever your method is, Marilyn, do you want to?
I was going to say the refrigerator door is a good place.
Yes.
I think for example, things that are going on in the world.
Yes.
And immediately I think, the Samuelsons, they're in the DRC, which
right.
is kind of a dangerous place to be.
Yeah.
And so we need to be praying for our missionaries. Right. And just different things prompt different things to come to mind.
Marilyn, anything to add on that?
No, I have tried a lot of different things, and I just think you just have to trust that God knows, that he knows the needs, you know. He knows before we ask, and so we pray, and he's not limited. It's our privilege to participate, and he's mm-hmm. not limited.
It is, and I would just add something to this, that we see in Scripture, I think there's a responsibility by proximity. Mm-hmm. So that, for example, we're each praying for our own individual families. That's something God has positioned us to do. I think he's positioned us in the workplaces we're in or in the community that we live in. And so to accept that part of his sovereign plan in determining the times and seasons where we live and how and who we are mm-hmm. in contact with is partly how he has designed us to pray.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of overlapping things that we'll have and concerns and cares, but you think of the question too, well, how can I help all the struggles that are in the world, right? How do I participate in that? Well, there's kind of concentric circles that build out, even in Scripture, that I think we're helped by just knowing we are approximate people. And it's okay to acknowledge our mortality in that and to be faithful with our little corner, you know, our 10 acres of prayer that we're assigned to, and growing in that. But anyway, that was just one thought. I wanted to leave time for one last question, which is the whatever I didn't think of that they thought of, I wanted them to share with you. So is there something that hasn't been mentioned that you feel is important to understand in regard to prayer, or any just last thing that you'd like to share to encourage the group here?
No, just to emphasize Psalm 34:15, the verse that tells us that God's eyes are on the righteous and his ears are open to their prayers. So he invites us, and we can know that he has invited us and that he hears us and that he will answer us. Be encouraged in your prayer life.
The only thing I would say is something that has been helpful to me is even short little verses that are memorized. You know, the last, even if you don't know where it is, you know, I'm not good at remembering, but the last verse of Psalm 27 is, "Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Take heart. Wait for the Lord." You know, that is, you know, Psalm 23, Psalm 100, all these different little pieces that you have in your brain. I think it is my belief that the Holy Spirit uses those things in your brain to prompt you to pray, you know. And so, at least for me, that has been my experience. So I would say just, you know, it's hard to memorize scripture, especially when you're older. Right?
Right.
But do it. Even a short little amount to have in your brain, it's helpful to pray.
I would say that 99% of the time when I wake up in the morning, I try to say this verse. The very first thing I think in the morning is, "This is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." And that tends to get my mind headed in the right direction. This is the day He's made, so let's move forward on that basis. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. That's just a simple little prayer. It's Psalm 118:24, I believe. And it's a good thing to do. It's the very first thing to get your day started in the right direction.
Yeah. Anything else?
And there's a hymn I like to sing also. I won't take the time to read the words, but I recommend it to you, and that's Did You Think to Pray? Mm-hmm. It's got four stanzas. One about asking God to be your shield. One asking for the direction of the Holy Spirit. One asking for grace to forgive others. And one asking for comfort and assurance, that balm in Gilead that the Bible talks about for our own situation.
Thanks, Cliff. Anything to add, Lori, before we wrap up? Nope. Okay. One thing I didn't ask that I'll make sure to relay through the class notes on the website is just resources that they've benefited from. I'll make sure to list those out. We didn't have a chance to do that. But why don't we close in prayer and then we'll wrap up for the morning. I'll pray for us. Father, thank you for these dear ones. Thank you for their input. Thank you that you speak through the voices of others, and that you encourage us, you correct us, you put before us your word, which is alive and is your ongoing ministry to us by the counsel of the Holy Spirit. We give you thanks for not only the access that we have to you, but the way that you continue to speak to us through your word. God, I pray that you'd help us to be encouraged, help us to take the next step in our life, in our prayer life, whatever that may be. And we pray for endurance and perseverance and for joy as we continue to draw near to you. God, we pray that you would draw near to us, as you say. We love you. We thank you that you're accessible, that you desire our good, and that you want to hear from us because you are a personal God. Help us to keep the conversation going. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Would you guys thank with me this panel? Just thank you for your effort. Thank you guys for all your thoughts and wisdom. And we look forward to a couple more classes. We have two more, and then we're going to wrap up this class before summer. So any questions you've got, feel free to ask them, but let's go enjoy service here in just a minute as well. Thank you, guys.